What are you doing? There's good news.
It's time again for Donald
Trump.
Theater.
No one knows what's up or down.
Black
or white.
Legal
or
impeachable.
Everything is make believe in Donald
Trump.
Theater.
So let's
pull
the
curtain
back.
We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. We can change the focus to a soft blur.
You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You just crossed over into.
The things that this show has called him, this approach is, I guess it's kind of like we're living in the Twilight Zone.
You walk into this room at your own risk, because it leads to the future. Not a future that will be, but one that might be. This is not a new world. It is simply an extension of what began in the old one. It has patterned itself after every dictator who has ever planted the ripping imprint of a boot on the pages of history since the beginning of time. It has refinements, technological advances, and a more sophisticated approach to the destruction of human freedom. But like every one of the superstates that preceded it, it has one iron rule. Logic is an enemy and truth is a menace.
Truth isn't truth.
You know for a couple years now, you've been thinking, there's probably bad stuff in the Mueller report that makes Donald Trump look terrible. But then, like three weeks ago, Attorney General Bill Barr put out his four-page Valentine to Donald Trump. And then you thought, maybe I'm crazy. Mm-hmm. Well, if you just return to this dimension from the Phantom Zone, I want you to know the Mueller report was released. And I'm here to tell you, you're not crazy. There's some insane in here.
I won. No collusion, no obstruction. I won. I have not read the Mueller report. I haven't seen the Mueller report. As far as I'm concerned, I don't care about the Mueller report.
The Mueller report is great. It exonerates me. I've never read it. I don't care about it.
Barr issued his infamous letter summarizing the report. Then a week later, he issued a second letter saying the first letter wasn't supposed to be a summary. Then Mueller's team started leaking and saying they weren't happy with Barr's summary. Then we found out they wrote their own summaries that Barr didn't use. Then we found out Barr briefed the White House on the report. Then we found out Barr let Trump's attorneys see the report. Then this morning, Barr held a press conference on the report where he spun all the conclusions before reporters or the public actually had a chance to read the report.
Why do you have to set up the report first? Officer, before I open the trunk of this car, I'd like to first give a short speech about what you're about to smell. Did the president obstruct justice? Now, that requires intent. And Barr explains there was no intent because what some might see as obstruction was merely the president lashing out in mindless rage.
There is substantial evidence to show that the president was frustrated and angered by his sincere belief that the investigation was undermining his presidency, propelled by his political opponents, and fueled by illegal leaks.
Wait, when did feelings become a get-out-of-jail-free card? Sure, my client's actions might look like arson, but might I remind you, he was feeling tense, and who doesn't relax in front of a roaring fire?
Much of the report is redacted, which is, it's a difficult concept to wrap your head around. So as a service to those who don't understand what redaction is, we put together this informative and musical explanation that I hope will help.
What are you doing, young lady?
I'm delivering the Mueller report to Congress.
No, no, no. You gotta let me take a look at it first.
Who are you?
I'm Redaction Jackson. And this report needs some heavy-duty redacting.
What's a redactum?
What's a redaction? Come with me.
Redaction Jackson, what's your action?
Blacking out words and phrases and clauses.
Redaction Jackson, why that action?
So the POTUS doesn't wind up behind bars.
redaction, Jackson. What you redacting?
Money laundering, porn star payoffs, shady deals with Russian hackers, and straight up collusion.
But how does it work?
I redact this sentence so the president doesn't get this sentence.
But isn't that lying?
Not necessarily. This passage was about the president's secret love child with a spy from the KGB. But now it says, Trump loved KFC.
That's true. He does love KFC. Wow, you're a real American hero, Redaction Jackson.
Then Barr released the redacted Mueller report to the world on a website, and looks like he might have skipped a few pages when he was summarizing. For instance, we now know how Trump felt about Mueller's investigation. When Jeff Sessions told Trump that a special counsel had been appointed, the president slumped back in his chair and said, "Oh my God, this is terrible. This is the end of my presidency. I'm..."
Trump, upon learning Robert Mueller was appointed, slumping back in his chair. Meanwhile, Ivanka is playing fetch with Don Jr. Eric's tongue is stuck to a somehow frozen flagpole. Reince Priebus is walking around with his head inside a honeypot. Jared is standing motionless directly in front of a blank wall. Steve Bannon is stress eating a bowl of used syringes. And Stephen Miller is gleefully pulling the legs off a spider. While Trump says those beautiful words as tears roll down his cheeks, "This is the end of my presidency, I'm f-." And right at that very moment, a pigeon flies into the room and f***s in his mouth. It is a masterpiece. And I'm not saying that that's what happened. I'm just saying we don't definitively know that it didn't.
Why did Trump think it was terrible? Well, because according to Mueller, even though his report didn't establish collusion with Russia, Trump was worried a thorough FBI investigation would uncover facts about the campaign and the president personally that the president could have understood to be crimes. In other words, Trump probably thought he broke the law and that now his past was coming for him.
You tell him I'm coming and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Mueller confirmed that Russia interfered in our election, made repeated contacts with Trump associates, but did not conclude that the Trump team engaged in a criminal conspiracy with Russia.
But the report said several actions by the president were investigated as potentially amounting to obstruction of justice. Mueller's team says if we had confidence that the president clearly did not commit obstruction of justice, we would so state.
And that last one is a pretty conspicuous non-exoneration.
On the subject of collusion, Trump's complete and total exoneration was not really either of those things, because it says the special counsel's investigation into possible collusion found that members of the Trump campaign knew they would benefit from Russia's illegal actions to influence the election, but didn't take criminal steps to help. Well, you know that saying, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is that good men do nothing. Well, the Trump campaign took that as a challenge. Hey! We didn't help, therefore, we are good men. Triumph. Now, the real juicy, savory drippings of the report lie in the obstruction of justice section. Now, you see, there's this ruling from the 1970s by the Justice Department's Office of Legal Counsel, or OLC, that says that a sitting president can't be indicted because the job's too hard for him to worry about stuff like that. Was that the reason that Mueller refused to decide whether Trump obstructed justice? Barr said no.
Could you explain for us the special counsel's articulated reason for not reaching a decision on obstruction of justice and if it had anything to do with the department's longstanding guidance on not indicting a sitting president?
We specifically asked him about the OLC opinion and whether or not he was taking the position that he would have found a crime but for the existence of the OLC opinion. And he made it very clear several times that that was not his position.
Yeah. Mueller made it clear several times that that wasn't his position. In fact, he said it everywhere except in his report where he specifically cites the OLC opinion and then writes, "We recognize that a federal criminal accusation against a sitting president would place burdens on the president's capacity to govern." So Barr stood up there and knowingly said a bald-faced lie. The president must be so proud. Oh, Billy,
You're like the son I never had.
Really? Don't be a hero. Don't be a fool with your life. Really? Don't be a hero.
And since Mueller says, I can't make this call because he's the president, Barr took it upon himself in his memo to say he didn't do it. Seems like a good guy. But then this morning, Barr was asked this.
Did the special counsel indicate that he wanted you to make the decision or that it should be left for Congress?
Special Counsel Mueller did not indicate that his purpose was to leave the decision to Congress. I hope that was not his view.
Oh, I hope so, too. Because if he said that, and then you made the decision anyway, that would be, in the words of James Madison from the Federalist Paper 62, super up. It would really make Barr look like a feckless stooge if Mueller had written on page 220, the conclusion that Congress may apply the obstruction laws to the president's corrupt exercise of the powers of office accords with our constitutional system of checks and balances and the principle that no person is above the law.
Look. Look, no clapping. Don't clap for him. No, I never said I was above the law, Bob. I'm behind the bar. Protect me, Bill. They'll eat me alive in jail. I'm 70% cheeseburger.
The report is full of damning evidence about the president's various attempts to influence the investigation. Mueller writes that those attempts were mostly unsuccessful, largely because the persons who surrounded the president declined to carry out orders. In fact, we've gotten so many more details about the campaign's ties to Russia. Just take Trump's ex-campaign chairman Paul Manafort is one example. Manafort communicated with a Ukrainian political consultant tied to Russian intelligence named Konstantin Kalimnik. Kalimnik proposed a peace plan for Ukraine that Manafort has since acknowledged was a backdoor means for Russia to control eastern Ukraine. Kalimnik wrote an email to Manafort expressing the view, which Manafort later said he shared, that the planned success would require U.S. support to succeed. All that is required to start the process is a very minor wink from Donald Trump. Of course, with Trump, it's impossible to know if he's winking or just trying to read off a teleprompter. I mean, this is what he looks like when he's just trying to read a prepared statement.
10,000 known or suspected gang members.
Suspested. As in Robert Mueller suspected that Trump obstructed justice.
His former campaign manager, Corey Lewandowski, who did not deliver the president's message to Attorney General Jeff Sessions that he should confine the Russia investigations to future election meddling only.
Look, I will tell you, this Kremlin hacking will not stand from here on out. Russia, Russia, you get one mulligan. Maybe two.
There's nothing wrong with taking information from Russians.
There's nothing wrong with taking
information. It depends on where it came from. It depends on where it came from. You're assuming that the giving of information is a campaign contribution. You read the report carefully. Mm-hmm. The report says we can't conclude that because the law is pretty much against that. Do you people get information from this person, that person?
So you would have accepted information from Russians against a client, against a candidate if you were running in the presidential
election? I probably wouldn't. I wasn't asked. I would have advised just out of excess of caution, don't do it.
And in the summer of 2017, Trump told White House counsel Don McGahn to call Rosenstein and tell Rosenstein to fire Mueller. McGahn didn't want to do that and told Reince Priebus that he was going to resign because the president had asked him to, quote, do crazy. I, for one, don't know what McGahn was complaining about. He had to see this coming. After all, that was Trump's 2016 campaign slogan. President Trump refused to be questioned in person by the special counsel, but he did submit some answers in a section titled Responses of President Donald J. Trump. Now, I have reason to believe that these responses were not actually written by Donald Trump because they're written. There is one common thread among Trump's responses. He remembers nothing.
I see nothing. I was not here. I did not even get up this morning.
Because over the course of 10 pages, Trump answers questions with some version of, I do not recall, over 30 times. That's funny, because I do recall this.
One of the great memories of all time.
And one of the great memories of all time one of all time, right here, up in the kidneys. And the reason my memory is great, it never lets me remember the crimes I commit. So awesome. What was the question?
Now, ultimately, to sum up his findings on the key issue he was hired to investigate, Mueller said maybe the most shocking thing in the entire 400 pages. If we had confidence after a thorough investigation of the facts that the president clearly did not commit obstruction of justice, we would so state. Based on the facts and the applicable legal standards, we are unable to reach that judgment. Well, that's huge.
Oh, wow.
Mueller would have found Trump innocent if it had been possible in any way. But it was impossible to find that. That is the opposite of a witch hunt. Look, we'd really like to exonerate this witch, but when we tried to pull her out of the water, she turned the FBI director into a toad. It's important to remember the whole shebang did not start as an investigation into what Donald Trump did or did not do. It started as an investigation into what Russia did. Then Trump said, uh-oh, I didn't do what they say I did unless I did. So he fired James Comey for trying to find stuff out, and Mueller was then hired to look into possible obstruction of justice. Now, there's disagreement over whether Trump obstructed justice, but Mueller made it clear Russia's the bad guys here, because 12 Russians were indicted by a grand jury for allegedly hacking during the 2016 election, including allegations of hacking emails of the Democratic National Committee, and 13 other Russian nationals and three companies were indicted last year for attempting to use social media to influence the election. Now, for those of you keeping score at home, let's see, 12 Russians plus, let's see, plus 13 Russians, plus three Russians gets you, that gets you the Electoral College. Russia basically threw spies at Donald Trump nonstop for a year, including reaching out to two of Trump's foreign policy advisors with promises of dirt on Clinton, on top of famous Trump Tower meeting with Donald Trump Jr. and a Russian lawyer. I'm starting to think Trump had more foreigners working for his campaign than Americans. You wrote the rules on special counsel investigations. How much of this is your fault?
I'm feeling pretty good tonight because basically I think this is the end of the beginning, not the beginning of the end. So,
In what way? What do you mean?
So the special counsel regulations were written to deal with the central problem that our Constitution creates, which is the president and his attorney general control prosecution entirely under our Constitution. So if you have a corrupt attorney general, there isn't a way to stop him from doing the president's bidding. All you can do is shed sunlight into that process, and that's what we saw today. So we have a special counsel report, several hundred pages long. The attorney general can stop that investigation, even though the president said, this is a hoax, stop this thing, witch hunt, and the like. And so we now have the facts, and it's now set up for Congress and the American people to evaluate, as opposed to a world in which there was a cover-up from the get-go.
Now, what have you... You've had a chance to look at this today. This is your baby. It's the first time you seeing it. Does it have your eyes? Is this what you intended? When you wrote the rules, is this the kind of report you intended to have written?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think there's a couple things that we didn't anticipate. You know, we thought about corrupt attorneys general and nefarious ones, but Barr is actually more nefarious in some ways than anything we anticipated.
In what way?
So a couple of things. Number one is he wrote a 19-page memo that basically said the president can't obstruct justice, that it's constitutionally impossible, basically.
This is before he got the job of attorney general. That was his audition.
Exactly. And and strikingly, the Trump legal team, today we learn in the report, parroted every part of that. And you could read this Mueller report as like a 400-page epic subtweet of the Barr report, the Barr memo saying a president can't obstruct justice.
Well, what did you think of the way he characterized it in his letter as opposed to what you're seeing today? Did he read the same report that we did?
No. I mean, you know, I mean, strikingly, on page one, Mueller says in his report, I believe a sitting president can't be indicted. And on page two, he says, because of that, I'm not going to incriminate the president. Now, Barr gave a long press conference this morning. Did we hear anything about that? No. On page 2, he also says, I'm not going to exonerate the president. I don't got the facts to do that. Did Barr say a word about that? So I kind of feel like with Barr, if he tells you, like, don't see this movie, you probably should see it because he saw a different movie than the one that actually exists.
Now, is the obstruction issue now unobstructed? Do we finally know why Mueller came to his conclusion? Is it the OLC decision from the 70s that he's citing, essentially?
So I think there's two things. Number one is that decision which says a sitting president can't be indicted. And the second, as you showed in your monologue, this idea that, well, the president tried to obstruct justice, but he just failed because his folks wouldn't carry it out. Now, I think I run the most creative legal team in the country, but I've never heard of that defense, which is you're so incompetent that you couldn't obstruct justice. And what does that say about our president?
I tried this. Were you surprised that the wording in the report, as they're saying earlier, I thought the most shocking thing in the entire report was them writing in the report that, you know, we would have found him innocent if we could. But it's not possible to clear him of these crimes.
I agree with you. And it's such a, I think, real statement about Barr that the Mueller report says that very clearly. They're basically saying, we would have liked to exonerate him. We couldn't do it. The facts weren't there.
Because if they could exonerate him, they wouldn't have to worry about the Office of Legal Counsel ruling or whether you can indict a president. But clearly they had that in mind, even though Barr said today at his press conference that that was not in Mueller's mind.
Absolutely. And I'll point you to one other thing. You know, we lawyers look at footnotes, and there's a footnote in here, footnote 1091.
That's a good one. I remember that one.
Exactly. And what Mueller says there is, well, you can't indict a sitting president now because of these OLC opinions, but after he leaves office, and boy, that's a clue.
If you can't indict a sitting president, why investigate? What's the purpose?
So I think two reasons. Number one, as we were just talking about, after the president leaves office, federal criminal charges could be brought. And I read that footnote for Mueller basically saying, I think they should be brought. So that's number one. And number two is our founders always said, even if you can't indict a sitting president, you can have Congress impeach or at least investigate and come to a decision about what actually happened. And so this puts the ball in Congress's court, at least until the president is no longer president.
I just think this sentence is enormously important.
Read it again.
The conclusion that Congress may apply the obstruction law to the president's corrupt exercise of the powers of office accords with our constitutional system of checks and balances and the principle that no person is above the law. This is an invitation to Congress to say you can do it using the impeachment power.
The bottom line on today's document, according to the document, not the attorney general, is this. Robert Mueller reports he could not exonerate President Trump. And under department policy, he could not prosecute President Trump. So the special counsel laid out all the evidence and all the facts. And now it's up to Congress to decide what happens next.
A person out of control who took the law, turned it upside down. Every time there was a crossroads, he put his personal and legal interest ahead of the nation. He's the chief law enforcement officer of the land. He encouraged people to lie for him. He lied. I think he obstructed justice. I think there's a compelling case that he has, in fact, engaged in conduct that would be better for him to leave office than to stay in office.
You don't even have to be convicted of a crime to lose your job in this constitutional republic. If this body determines that your conduct as a public official is clearly out of bounds in your role.
We don't want a president lying in office, that we don't want obstruction of justice.
The president has engaged in a persistent pattern and practice of obstruction of justice.
He doesn't have to say go lie for me to be a crime. You don't have to say let's obstruct justice for it to be a crime. You judge people on their conduct, not magic phrases.
Give him a chance.
Give him a chance.
Oh, some people.
preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.